Welcome to this month's live call as part of the Sacred Science Inner Circle. I am here with my dear friend, Doug Walken. Just to kind of give you a little bit of, I have a fly buzzing around my head, so I might be doing that during this call a little bit. Sorry. Doug Walken, he is the founder of Kauai Pharmacy. A lot of you who have seen all of our docuseries probably know him from the Remedy series. We went out there and hung out and filmed some incredible footage with him, Gotu Kola and other incredible herbs on his farm, just had a remarkable time. And Doug and I recently had tea together about 2 or 3 months ago, in both here in Boulder at the Dushanbe Tea House, which everyone must check out if you're ever in Boulder. It was actually shipped over piece by piece from Turkey. Every brick by brick, the whole thing is from there. But so we had tea and can reconnected in a huge way. Do you ever have those like reconnections with old friends where it's like more than just catching up? You realize that you need the other person in your life because they have something to offer you. They have a unique antidote for a problem that you are encountering in your personal soul life. That was this for me. And I think Doug and I saw eye to eye on a lot of things, and his process these days of self-restoration, rejuvenation, how to get true rest, how to actually relax into yourself and allow yourself to recuperate at night and during the day. There's so many things that we talked about. There's so many things that we're going to talk about right now that I feel like everyone needs to be aware of. And it's an honor to have you here, Doug. How you doing?
Good, Nick. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. We're going to go a lot of different places, but can you give these guys a little bit of a background, like where you started before you even got to Kauai, how your life has kind of like kind of take the trajectory that you've been on and how you've kind of arrived into this moment?
So I grew up in a suburban home in Massachusetts, went off to University of Michigan, and then began a life in finance for about 10 years in Chicago for 3 or 4, and ended up in a private equity real estate fund in the early 2000s, which was pretty wild. Private jets, and kind of reached the pinnacle of what that was back in the day, and ended up departing from that world in 2004 with not much certainty of what I wanted to do, just knew I wanted to do something else and try something else. I was 30-ish years old. And my health was, I was definitely stressed. I was tightly wound. Didn't really know actually what my condition was in terms of quality of life within me, what I was experiencing. Few things, one thing led to another. I actually ended up writing a book on economics called The New Game, which is a new theory on stabilizing living costs and a new local community finance vehicle. And that's still relevant today, which I put my soul, heart and soul into at that time. And then moved to Kauai, not knowing I was going to move here. We went to travel here, thinking we were going to stay for a little while. And one thing led to another. We had our first child. And that was 18 years ago now that we moved to Kauai. So Kauai is the westernmost island of the Hawaiian Islands. And we are on the North Shore. 3 years after moving here, we embarked on stewarding a parcel of land that we now call Kauai Pharmacy. It's 4 acres. Again, pharmacy, Pharmacy. It's a farm that produces herbal medicine. So we have backyard gardens basically of 4 acres. It could be the largest and most diverse collection of herbal medicine on the planet. Who knows? It's quite diverse. There's hundreds of medicinal botanicals on our land. And we craft them into very simple modalities, the simplest being tea and others. It started with tea, just drinking a cup of tea. My journey began with a cup of tea in terms of wellness and kind of breaking through some boundaries that I had not been able to break through in terms of my own well-being. I was, as I mentioned, tightly wound, thought I was going to come to Kauai and surf and chill and live my young self. And I was aging and I had children, and it was not that pleasant of an experience. So the tea really helped me break some things up within me physically. I think the first step to healing is that purging process of getting the physical blockages out of ourselves, and the tea is so gentle. And it's so it really embodies the process. It makes you move through it, so you feel it all, and you learn so much about yourself as you move through it. That's so important, not jumping over any steps in the healing process, because you just get confused. So yeah, so teas and oils and salves, moved on to a huge medicine cabinet of different modalities, and here we are 18 years later with a big website and lots of sales and customers, and it's been an amazing ride. Yeah.
When did you decide that you had to shift the way you were approaching your daily life and your own health and well-being? Because I feel like the way you look now and the way that you look on the Remedy series is distinctly different. Like, you're healthy on the Remedy series, but you seem definitely like a man on a mission. You definitely seem like a Western man. You seem like a New Yorker style, like, vibe. You're doing this, you're excited about it, but there's definitely an urgency. This is kind of happening on a timeline, and you're making things happen, as opposed to now, where it feels like there's more of a you have more of a of an ease about you.
Yeah, well, yeah, the controlling, right? I mean, that's what I was t taught, or that's what I learned. I don't know if I was taught that, but I learned that. I learned about trying to control it, and shoots, the different kinds of kids are a great example. Different kinds of responsibilities that we take on in our lives, ground us and root us into the surrendering process, right? You have no choice, head in the ground, face in the ground, you will surrender,
Right.
and it takes that. And people think it's this beautiful process of surrendering, but I mean, yes, it becomes that, the ease that you're talking about. But as you take on these responsibilities in your life, and I mentioned children and partnerships and family, those are the best examples, but certainly your work and your home. And for me, it was this, this energy of this land was a huge grounding piece, and one that said, like, if you don't become easeful, you'll hate yourself, you'll hate this process, and you'll get kicked off the land. We're going to kick you right off the land.
Right.
And that's kind of, we get these messages in other relationships and other, responsibilities in our lives, but sometimes we don't take them. The land, the land kind of, and like came around me, circled me with the plants, and it's so transparent. And so I was able to learn step by step from the plants. And even though I don't remember them actually talking to me, I do communicate clearly with them on the daily. And it's more me receiving, which is beautiful. Super grateful for it. So in terms of, remembering, I think it's a constant process, just keeping, ideally your, spine strong and head up and chin up. And I was gonna say head down, but that's not the case anymore. I don't want to keep my head down anymore. I want to keep my chin up and just enjoy the ride, enjoy the process, and realize that, we talk about this a lot, Nick, you and I, the other on our call recently. The more we put into ourselves, trusting that the more we put into ourselves, that the more we'll be able to show up for all our responsibilities. Right? So it's like this constant push and pull that we have, in at least in the Western world, that I found, is like this idea that we can just keep showing up for our responsibilities and roar, and we got it, we got this, and the harder we work, that the more we'll be able to accomplish. And that process, like, certainly on Kauai land, is futile. It's totally, it's futile. It doesn't feel good and it doesn't work. And it really in life, it can work in in the physical, first dimension, kind of where I think culturally we've been as a, as a humankind, at least in the West, that's where we've been, which is let's get food on the table, shelter over our home, over our heads, which is, beautiful and so grateful for all that. But it, and we need to do more of it. There's people that don't have that. So, but that survival level in the phys, that's animalistic and it's, and pushing more and accomplishing more, that also is somewhat animalistic.
Right.
Because in the end, what's that really going to do? We're still just, the accomplishments, whatever. So it's like the idea of realizing that there's so much more here and having an easeful experience, allowing you to show up in your highest self through that ease, having the longevity that is cultivated in that ease, and then trusting that, yeah, that's going to serve everyone around you. Because we know that's what we all want, right? We all want to
Right.
serve, and we all want to serve our work, and we all want to serve our community, and we want to serve our family. And then we get frustrated because we haven't served ourselves first. So how do we trust? How do we develop the practices, right, alongside cultivating the trust that the more we put into these practices, the more we'll be able to show up for all our responsibilities.
I think trust is one of the big things there, and I just say it from my own struggles. Like I don't, you will things to happen when you don't trust that there's a process, that there's a flow, and that you live in a benevolent kind of a universe, and that people can be relied upon, and that there is that there is a purpose for what you're doing. I feel like, when you when I so I just went to, but everyone on the call, I was just in British Columbia for 3 weeks filming for our Trees movie, all about reforestation and also and the effects of forestry and logging on the old growth trees up there. And before I went there, you challenged me. We had a call like maybe 2 days, or I don't even know, like a week before I left, and you're like, hey, why can't this also be restful for you? Like, why does this thing need to be something that is going to deplete you? Why can't you do this in a way where you can actually enjoy this as opposed to it being a big responsibility? And I was like, well, I mean, I'm excited to do it. Like, I want to do it, but restful. I mean, no, like, I'm going to come back and I'm going to probably need to crash for a few days, like, because I'm going to be putting every single thing I have like into these like 3 weeks. And you kind of threw a challenge down. You're like, well, that's maybe there's a way for you to. Maybe you'll find that you get more done if you can actually relax into it, as opposed to like trying to push so hard. Maybe there's a way for you to surrender into it and like just show up and like be good to yourself and like do for yourself what needs to be done in the moment, which I think is something I'm not very good at. But I actually have the message you sent me. I kind of want to paste it into this chat thread. Can I paste it? It's appropriate. There's
Yeah,
nothing personal about it.
please.
Okay, guys, I'm just pasting it right here in this chat thread. This is what Doug wrote to me. Oh, paste, 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 paste. Can I paste into here? Let's see. Maybe I'm gonna give you a screenshot. Give me 1 second. Sorry, guys, for the technical difficulties. I just want you to see this because it's a pretty cool like arc for us to follow. If I can get it to actually go in here. Boom. Okay, I'm gonna maybe send you guys a screenshot. Give me a second. Bear with me. I want you to see this. Okay, can I paste something into here? My computer, and here it is. Okay, I'm gonna read it too, but just so you guys have it, if you want to download it, it's kind of cool. Let me know if that showed up. Do you guys see that in the chat? I'm gonna read it too.
Nick, I think
This
you just
looks
sent it to the panelists, so you might want to make sure it's sent to everybody.
cool. Let's see. Share with everybody. I think I don't know if I can do that. Mil, can you share it with everybody? I'm gonna read it while you share it. I can't get it to share with everybody, but Doug basically sent me a text message. Here's what it said. It said, "Dear Nick, just a reminder to trust and honor your well-being practice. Nutrition. Be hyper intentional about the quality of food you choose to feed this most sophisticated machine. Our diet is the ultimate in self-respect. Sleep is a product of our daily restorative choices. It's a 24/7 practice, yet only a component of our larger restorative practice. Mobility. This can be easy restorative poses like lying on a bed with legs and or head hanging off bed, leg circles and supported squatting. Meditation. This is where we nourish our system with breath, dissolving our thoughts that are not us and lowering our consumption of energy in stillness and silence. This is the most efficient way we recharge or refuel the engine. Sit as often as possible. Honoring well-being as the priority and trusting that as we do so, we will be able to show up in all our power for all of our responsibilities. Reminder, we are beautifully mortal. Honor the present and be devoted to the process in the context of longevity. Step by step, brother, make every step count. It's the only way through. Enjoy BC. Aloha, Doug." So I feel like that's an interesting for me. Like I think that's like kind of the call we had too, like a week before I left. You were taking me through your own personal practice, which is kind of what this is. Like you're not someone who has spent a lot of time taking people through the process, you know? Like, and I think that's what makes it so fresh, and it makes it so potent, and it makes it so vulnerable, and it makes it so unique and authentic, is that you're just starting to share your process. And when you shared your process with me over coffee, or sorry, not coffee, over tea, a couple of weeks, about a month ago, and then we followed up with like a full hour or two call where you kind of gave me a full, you know, a full read through of like everything that's going on. It felt like your process is legit, to say, to put it mildly. And I think that it kind of went through this kind of arc that you gave me here in this text message: nutrition, sleep, mobility, meditation. And you know, there's this overall sense of allowing ourselves in our lives to create a container that is restful, even during the middle of our day, which I think a lot of us have a hard time doing because we have this impulse or we have this limiting belief that we need to be forcing and pushing and willing forward, or else things are going to come in and collapse in on us, or somebody's going to be inconvenienced and that's going to potentially cost us in some way. And so I feel like there's this really amazing and refreshing and needed more than ever mindset to what you're doing, which is kind of one of personal sovereignty and true personal care, if that makes sense.
Yeah, beautifully summarized. Thank you, Nick. Yeah, I mean, our call was super intimate and super aligned with my, you know, the work that I'm doing. You were, you know, super receptive, and that's really what I'm seeking is trying to tap into people that are in alignment. And you know, for me, you know, you mentioned vulnerability. My challenge is just keeping my own practice alive, right, and well, and not pretending like I can show up for things I can't show up for, right? So that's why like sharing is so vulnerable, because it's like, well, am I really as stable and balanced as I want to be right now? Because here's another 1 hour call I got to be on for, and it's another thing, right? That humbling of like, how many responsibilities can we take on? Like, are we kidding ourselves? Like it. You know, yes, there is a level when our balance is such that we become all that, you know, all that we are, right? Because we are so much more. All that memory, it's stored in us, but it's a process for it to move through and show up and come out and be present with. So how do we move through that process gently, compassionately, right, with ourselves, so that each time we show up, it's a nice dance, you know, we're not stepping on our own toes, right? And that's so much of I think my hesitancy, I think, to share sometimes is just me wanting to make sure my work is solid for myself and my family and my small little community, and then taking a step beyond that. Yeah, it's definitely requires the breath is key, you know, having that stable breath. We talked a lot about deepening the breath, right? So as we deepen the breath, the awareness rises and the mind clears and the spine strengthens, right? So that very practice, how I do that through meditation. There's other ways people, you know, there's other meditative practices that one can do. But for me, that is the most efficient, and I know that's also, you know, been something that you have enjoyed. So that's the reason that I, you know, suggested it for you. But certainly, there's other practices that people do that can deepen that breath and clear the mind and strengthen the spine, so that we can find that ease. And when we find that ease, our ability to tap in and channel and be one, you know, be union, yoga, be union with all the powers that be, then we're able to really be so much more in our power, right? So, and what does that look like? It ideally, you know, we're also riding the edge all the time, right? Nick, if I know you, you're always wanting to ride the edge. So people say, oh, life, you know, this life is so hard. Well, the ease is the groundingness, the ground of your being. But you're always seeking the hardness, because that's the edge that you, why we're here for evolution, right? Our personal and community. And I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons we're here. But I'd like to think that, you know, I want to grow. I want to grow into a big tree, big, strong tree with lots of fruit.
Why do you think it is that it's hard for us to take care of ourselves? Like I'm ever since, I mean, you've helped me like launch into this new era. Like I thought I was already doing a pretty good job of taking care of myself, but then hanging out with you, I'm like, oh wow, no, there's a lot more. There's a lot more that could be done here. Wow, okay. And now that I'm on it, like it's my favorite thing. I mean, it's my favorite thing when you're, I mean, people on the call, like, let us know how you feel about this. But like when you're like on a good regimen and you start feeling with that, like every aspect is kind of like in, it has sort of a it's there for the re everything that you're doing is kind of there for your own well, for the well-being of your body and mind and spirit. And then from there outward, you start realizing that you could show up bigger in the world. I think something that you said in an article you sent me too is responsibility and responsive and our ability to respond. Like you know, have it as our responsibility to be able to take care to take our care of ourselves, so we have more of an ability to respond. So like respond ability in a way. I love it. It's such a good idea. Like if you're wondering why the world seems so big, well, first of all, like make sure take a look at how you're treating yourself. Like, 'cause if you're treating yourself really well and you're doing the right things, your ability to respond to those problems tends to go up, tends to increase. And so I guess what I'm wondering is why is it so hard for us to, why is this obvious part of our existence, this obvious part of our birthright to, you know, take a nice deep breath and to eat the right foods and not nearly as much as we currently are eating, but just eat the right amount, which is a lot less most likely than we are eating, and of the right stuff, and to, you know, take the time to move our bodies, doing those things that you have referred to in the text message that some people might not understand because it was kind of a little bit archaic the way that you worded it, but I understand because you showed me those bed routines. But all those things, like all those things that are really about like taking care and nourishing yourself, why is that something that is so far away from what we would normally do for ourselves?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think if I look at the generation in front of us, I'm my early 50s, and I assume, you're somewhere 40s and 50s. The generation that we were raised by, if you will, or brought up by, that generation and many of the generations before them in the West were building survival foundation for society, for the culture. So they were building homes and doing, figuring out where the how to mine coal and build cars and streets and roads. And we are well beyond that now, right? We are in comfort level. And comfortable, being comfortable can be, it can certainly, be amazing, and it could also be a curse. So now the question is, what did we learn too? So we learned from that generation and those generations before how to survive. So that's what we embodied, that's what we watched. Those are the examples. And then on top of that, the lack of emotional intelligence. What is happening, right? What is so-called success? For me, I've certainly, baseline, joy is success. Baseline. And actually beyond, below that base, below that is peace. Peace is like kind of baseline. Like people say, all I want is peace. Well, that's all you want? I want more than peace. I mean, I'm blessed with peace. Sometimes there's been times in my life I haven't had peace, and all I wanted was peace. So for all those seeking peace, that's beautiful. And I love that. I've been there. And at times I'm there as well. And then beyond that, the emotion, understanding that life happens within us, right? All of life happens within us. And so we show up every day to cultivate that life that happens within us. And the greater that we are able to cultivate such emotions of joy, of love, of compassion, of bliss, the greater we are able to cultivate those, the greater we're able to project those. And who do we project those onto? We project those onto all of our responsibilities. Right? So it's that hasn't really been taught or embodied. That's what we are waking up to. Right? We as a people, as a culture, we're, I think I mentioned we're first generation yogis, it's not so easy to just be going to yoga class for an hour. That's tough. I hurt my back when I do that. Like we need to take it step by step and move through the process and learn the techniques and learn the tools and then develop the practices
Right.
that are associated with those tools, right? And these practices are, again, for everyone, it can be different. It can be more movement for some, and some that can be, more silence and stillness, and at different times and different places and where you are in your journey. That's up to you, and you are the ultimate initiator. That's the other thing. We haven't been taught to nurse ourselves. We haven't been taught to heal ourselves, to be our own doctors. Inevitably, we are, we are the ones responsible for not just maintaining, but getting this system to a place of joy.
I came across something while we were filming for the Trees movie the last 3 weeks, and it was something that somebody said that really resonated, and it's a kind of understanding I've been having, which was how you do anything is how you do everything. So if you think that you can treat yourself like crap and then somehow be good to your children, or be good to your spouse, or be good to people around you or at work, it's good luck with that. And I mean, I say it And I'm still on the healing journey with that understanding. Like if you think that you can talk negatively to yourself and that's not going to ultimately rear its head in the way that you speak or the little tone that you might have, even if you try to do your very best to kind of temper it, it's almost impossible. Like, I mean, how you do anything is how you do everything. And so we're realizing it with the Trees movie too. I mean, kind of based on, part one of the seeds was what you told me before I left about just relaxing into it, which yielded so many incredible things. Like so much spontaneity happened because I just relaxed and like let it. But one of the things that yielded itself was like, man, like the way that deforestation is going to stop is by an entire is by people coming together and just kind of co just coming together with pretty peaceful nervous systems and openly and maturely communicating their actual needs around this issue so that there can be understanding and consensus. And I started realizing, I'm like, man, like that's how we, my film crew and everyone that we're working with in this on this project, we need to have the same exact approach. I need to be using that exact same approach as like, what I'm sort of prescribing to BC for their deforestation crisis. I need to be coming approaching my film crew and be approaching all the people we're interviewing and all the protesters and all the loggers and all the tree planters with the same respect and openness and building that consensus. So it's almost like everything that I'm doing is almost like one of those Russian like dolls that kind of goes within itself. Like every little thing I'm doing needs to kind of have the same shape and has to have the same approach. It can't be like a toxic approach to making a to being the producer of a film, and then also but then we're filming something and trying to paint a picture of how that needs to be done in this open holistic way. There needs to be, holistic, and holism kind of means this kind of very fractal, everything is taken into consideration. So I mean, in what you're saying and the way that we treat ourselves, it's almost like the way you approach anything is the way that you should be approaching everything. So I don't know what that really means, aside from that the idea that being good for yourself, maybe it gives us permission to take the time to nourish ourselves, because by nourishing ourselves and by really understanding these intricate systems within us that need some love and attention, we automatically, almost by extension, start nourishing the other systems around us and being a greater benefit to our immediate family and our community at large, I guess.
Yeah, that's perfectly said. Very well said.
I feel like I said a lot of things and went off on tangents, but thank you
No,
for.
you nailed it. It goes, the word, you started it off with the word trust way back, and it's I usually like start and end a lot of my sessions with that premise of like, trust. The more energy you put into yourself, and that again, you have to learn the practices too. It's not like, oh, if I go run a marathon, then I come back, I should be good. Because we were taught, exercise, exercise, exercise. Like, that's not necessarily the case. We have to learn. It's a step-by-step process. We have to learn the practices and the tools that qualify as this. Because dropping consumption is key, which that's where the surrender comes in, right? We're dropping consumption, not just of what we eat and the screens that we look at, but I mean, you're closing your eyes. That's how you're dropping consumption. You don't realize, but even thoughts are so consuming. Thoughts can be exhausting, right? That's why there's things called mental illness. So on the flip side, when we clear the mind, now we've created the blank canvas. Now we have creativity within us. Right. And trusting that clear mind, right? The ego doesn't want a clear mind. No, the ego wants to create. So we keep trying to figure it out in our heads. But all we're doing is exhausting ourselves in the process, right? And the creativity is like in a small little dimension. It's in the, typically it's in the physical. When, the body has so many more layers than that. Energetically and then beyond to tap into. So as we trust and cultivate these feelings that allow us to show up as our best selves, with all the joy being projected onto all our responsibilities. You mentioned how we do everything is how we do, something is how we do everything. I like, dishes, doing dishes and taking out the trash for me is always something that, like, I grew up watching, I have all the ultimate respect for my father, but I grew up watching my father bitch at doing the dishes and taking out the trash. Hey, Douglas, you take out the trash. It's like that's how it was taught to me. But now, appreciating that trigger of when I go take out the trash and what kind of condition I'm in, can I be dancing through that process? Is it joyful? Why? Because the joy is in my breath. That's where the joy lives. The joy lives in the existence. And the more we cultivate it, the more we become it. So it doesn't matter whether we're taking out the trash, editing a video, or dancing with our loved ones, or eating the, a fine meal, or, meditating. It's all meditative. And the meditation of it becomes joyful. And we do have those, we do ride the edges, so we're always doing more dishes, right? But as the awareness kicks in, right? Because it's all about awareness too. What you're talking about with the trees, what we're talking about is awareness. So if the awareness kicks in, then as we do the dishes, we feel our breath shortening. We say, oh, maybe I should take a break, not do all these dishes and come back to them. Maybe go lie down, ask my child politely to help, or ask my partner politely to help, tell them that I'm challenged right now. And so that awareness, because we're always going to be riding the edge, and ideally not too big an edge. Right? We don't want too big a wave, otherwise it's going to crush us. And then we have only ourselves to look at. Again, not forgiving ourselves for riding too big a wave, but taking responsibility, because when we do get on too big a wave, that's on us. No fault, but we do have to take responsibility, because typically what happens when we ride too big a wave, we end up projecting anger, stress, frustration. Right? Misery. That's what happens when our responsibilities outweigh our well-being. Right? So we can take on, now for some people, they don't need, enough response. I got enough responsibilities. This is perfect. I'm just going to ride this wave for the rest of my life until I die. And that's plenty of response. That's plenty. Maybe it's relatively small, little, who cares? No one to judge. But we all have this dance that we do with between our well-being and our responsibilities. And if they are in balance, then we are able to cultivate positive emotions, positive life experiences within us. If they are out of balance, we inevitably end up cultivating things like stress, emotions like stress and frustration and anger and anxiety.
I guess that's the trick too. Like I'd imagine that at least half the people on this call right now are probably saying, or I'm even slightly saying, like, yeah, what do you do when you've already gotten out of balance? Once you're out of balance and you have cultivated stress and you are not as resourceful and are not as able to respond, what's the first step to getting things back in balance again? Because if you're already in that place of depletion with no renewal on the horizon, is it just like, hey, don't worry about the actual things you've taken on. Start with yourself. Start with, it's time for me to get this ship at least internally correct, and start figuring out what my prioritizing, which of those responsibilities are absolutely mission critical. And which of those responsibilities are things I'd like to be able to do, or relationships I'd like to be able to tend to, but really I need to start having honest conversations and being okay with inconveniencing other people and being honest and just saying, hey, I know I said I'd do that, or I know that, this is what the expectation is. I unfortunately need to take this week. I need this week, or hey, you wanted us to go I know I was supposed to go out dancing or go out with you to the wherever the show, tomorrow night. I'm depleted. What do you think about just coming over here and we'll just hang out and like sip tea and, do a cold plunge or something like that instead? I'm trying to think about like how do you get resourceful? How do you find ways to kind of bring yourself back into balance when you're already off kilter? Because that can be really hard.
And you're sitting in so much responsibility that it's all around you, right? So I think, you use the word honest. That's number one, is being honest with yourself and therefore with those around you. There's a woman that just mentioned I go sit in my hot tub. So
Well done,
that's
Leanne.
yeah, that's that that's it, right? You be honest with yourself. You trust that. I mean, sitting, that word sit feels, sounds good to me. Like how do we shut it all down, trust without looking for answers outside of us? I mean, other than simple answers like a bathtub, not like run, for me, it's not running to the doctor, right? Or not running to some kind of so-called, whatever, fix it type thing outside of us, because it's a process, right? If we dug ourselves that deep, don't think anything's getting you out except for, lots of surrendering. Okay, like when I say lots of, if you dug yourself deep for 18 years, 30 years, you got to surrender for at least five. I mean, you're going to surrender for the rest of your life, but I mean deep surrendering. I mean deep surrendering, which means, again, the word trust. So trusting that the body and all the nourishment that surrounds us and all the beauty and the community has our back, and it's all here. And if we just shut it all down for a moment and let it just be and come back to the five elements within us, right? So the five elements in healing I use to come to a place of acknowledgement of presence when I'm not well. So when I'm not well, which happens a lot, and ideally it happens for shorter periods of time, keeping me honest, and I can get those periods of being not well, going from people have 3 day absences or a week or month long sicknesses, right? Or year longs. And then you're getting them down to like hours on it, maybe an evening here and there where you go down. And typically I'm fully aware that I'm gonna go down for an evening. Okay. And it's based on dehydration.
No, interesting.
So why is that in the five elements? 72% of us is water. There's no way you can be sick without being dehydrated. It cannot happen. You're 72% water. So your system is predicated on nourishing water. But it's also tied to the other four elements. It's a system that works cohesively together. So we're 72% water. This is the yogic science. 72% water, 12% earth. That's the second largest element in the body, the earth body, otherwise known as the food body. That's what we accumulate in our lives. So the water stabilizes the system just like it stabilizes us on the planet. The planet's 72% water, it stabilizes the system. It's kind of it's the ground, it's what allows us to be in balance in our health. And then the food body, we're constantly in interplay with it, right? Because we're constantly accumulating and we're constantly excreting. And sometimes we're excreting through our skin. Sometimes we're excreting through our nose, right? Mucuses. So the food body is obviously we have a lot of control over it. And we're extremely responsible for our food body. Now, in the Western world, the food body is often too high. It's often, over 12%, 13, 14, 15, 18. As it goes up, What's going to happen to the hydration? What's going to happen to the 72%? It's going to go right down. Guaranteed, like almost one for one. Now, the rest of the system, the fire, the other elements, the fire, the air, and the ether or the Akash or space is the fifth element. It's 6% air, 4% fire, and 6% space plus. Space and ether and Akash can be infinite in its potential. The other four elements have to be in balance to find the fifth element and curate it and cultivate it and expand it. That's where all the expansion happens.
Is
But
this
the other.
Ayurvedic? It's more of like an Ayurvedic worldview.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Just wanted to qualify that.
And for, I just learned those elements, and then I just, when I get hurt, when I get sick, it just, it's so profound.
Right.
Because what happens when we get sick, okay? Or so-called sick, we're actually getting well. But it's really hard to trust because we're in pain.
Right.
We're allowing the body to recalibrate the five elements. When we're going, we're and becoming more, not always going. If we can stay in balance when we're going, all good. But if we're going out of balance, which is what you're referring to, what you're describing, right? We're so overwhelmed, responsibilities all around us. How do we recalibrate the five elements? Well, you can either wait to get deathly ill or very ill, or you get kind of ill, but inevitably, what's going to happen most likely is you're going to drink a ton of water. You're going to hydrate. You're not going to eat a lot of food. So the body is going to fast you. The earth body is going to fast you. You can't even eat if you wanted to. Here's some chicken soup. Can't do it. Not if you want, not even if you wanted to. Then the fire, which has dwindled, it was 4%. That's your metabolism. That's what breaks down thoughts, breaks down emotions, and breaks down food. If your fire is dwindled, why? Because the earth body is smothering the fire. It's over 12%. So what's happening to the breath? The breath is exhausted and it's shortened completely, trying to stoke the fire. And as it's exhausting, we're shortening our breath and we're becoming more unconscious on the daily. We're not even realizing the stresses are kicking in because our breath is shortening. As the breath shortens, we become more like a dog, right? More like an animal. A dog breathes 20 times a minute. Human bees breathe 10 times a minute. So we want to deepen that breath to become more conscious, stoke that fire with ease. The fire burns the earth, and then we're able to drink the right amount of water. Now, when we get ill, or when you take the time to be ill and actually get healthy, what's really happening is we're sitting in bed, we're drinking a lot of water, we're fasting. And in almost all cases, we refer to some level of respiratory issue. We are breathing, whether we know it or not. We got pneumonia, we got so many breath issues. There's so many breath, like it's amazing how we breathe when we're ill. And so we're cultivating breath. We're expand, we're, and that breath become, which was dwindled, right? The breath was smothered, the fire was smothered. So there was, the breath was exhausted and shortened. We take that time to cultivate breath, that fourth element, right? Cultivate breath that stokes the fire, that burns the earth. And then we're able to balance the water. And once those come into balance, we can tap in to other levels of other dimensions of being, which is that space element, and call that in to be in our full power.
It's interesting. I wonder, like, as these stresses are mounting, and you know that you're out of balance, or you know that you have a week that is just, it's okay. I think it's okay to have a hard day. Like, I had a hard day a couple of days ago. It's okay to have a hard day and then figure out how to get recuperate. But when you have like a week or two in a row of where you're like, this has just been crazy for 2 weeks straight of like, emotional dysregulation, just ever too many demands of my time, not enough time for me to be alone and just find my bearings and be good to myself. Like you're saying, that is where the illnesses come in. It's almost like clockwork. Like you do 2 weeks in a row of like just for, especially as you get into your like late 30s, 40s, 50s and beyond, like you do 2 weeks in a row, the likelihood of illness is just so much higher. Like, yeah, I could just tell when I'm about to get sick. I'm like, okay, well, I know I'm probably gonna get sick because I've been pushing it hard for 2 weeks, have not been comfortable, have not been good to myself. It just happens. I could almost see the things that you're talking about as things that you can do before it even becomes a problem. You know, you're talking about like, you know, hydration and breathing properly and eating when needed, but not overeating and all the other things. I mean, it seems like there's a protocol there that could be relied upon even as you're seeing things are starting to get out of balance instead of waiting for the actual symptoms to start arising, which I think is what you taught me really, and it was profound on this 3 weeks crazy nonstop. We drove more than 3,400 miles in the 17-day period and filmed our faces off every time we stopped and then got back in the van and kept on going. But like even with that, I didn't get sick. I actually came back feeling great because I was very aware of the stress that usually happens. Usually there's a lot of stress and I was just getting into this meditative. I drove. Everyone else was kind of like to be able to relax. And I was like, I drove the van, the whole crew was able to pass out or listen to stuff and be in their own zone. But as I was driving, I was just getting into these like meditative states where I was like, I was tempted to let the stresses and the crazy all in. I was like, this is my sanctuary while I'm driving, you know, through the night. Like, and I would just get into these like zones of like just very aware, not dangerous driver, but like able to like just be good to myself in my mind. And like when I got to the hotel room, be good and truly like surrender to the rest instead of being like, well, now I should stress out about tomorrow. I'm like, no, this is where I rest. And like there was just an interesting way that's inherent in everything that you're saying, but that was able to be layered upon being out in the world and going after pretty intense things, you know, doing, but at the same time being fully rest and fully well breathed and not eating too much, like huge. Like I was like, I'm not eating. I'm gonna have one meal a day on this trip. It's my one meal a day on this trip. It's gonna be dinner, and then I'm gonna have liquids in the morning. You know, maybe a light, maybe some kind of a piece of fruit for lunch, and then I will eat at dinner time. But like just having this whole protocol laid out where I was like taking control of all of the little inputs, including my thoughts. And I was like rolling the entire time. And like I came back and I was like ready to go, you know? So I don't know. I think that inherent in what you're saying, it's not just like it's not just something to do when you start getting a runny nose or start getting ill. It's like you can do all this stuff and monitor it. And like, and I'm still trying to, a student of it, trying to get good at like being able to sense the subtle imbalances as they occur and say, oh, this is up, this is down, that needs to happen. This is up, this is up, that needs to happen. Oh, need to depressurize over here. And I just feel like there's a really interesting layer of this that feels like it's the future of humanity, really. Or maybe it's a return back to the Ayurvedic times where we were actually very responsible and aware of every little need we had and took care of it as it came up instead of putting it off until we get sick.
Yeah,
There's a
I
question in there
love.
somewhere. I'm sure there's, I'm
No, I
sorry,
love
asking a
that.
question.
It was really well said, Nick. You mentioned the food. It comes back. Nutrition is like, it's so foundational. Like if you're putting especially as you get older, you know, like if you're putting bad fuel in your body, you're gonna stress yourself out. And so, you know, I mentioned hydration, watery foods. So fruits and vegetables, fruits have 90% water, vegetables have 70% water. So right there, we're over 72%. You eat a big bowl of pasta, like you better start drinking like a gallon of water.
Right.
And it's not, you know, you used to have, when you're 18, the fire burns the pasta, no problem, no big deal. The water isn't that big of an issue, the same way it is now. You
Right.
know, refining, we know our work, we know raising children, we know everything that we do. Refining ourselves in our life is so important, right?
Yes.
So now what you just described was your food on this trip was very intentional. And I wonder once you got home with the comforts of home, if you lost that level of discipline, you know,
No,
so
dude, it
you
got
still
even
have it.
crazier.
Good.
Now it's converting. It's like forming into Voltron. Now the whole practice is like forming into Voltron in like this like really cool way where I'm like Cool. Now that I'm home and I have a sauna in my backyard, and I have like an empty metal wash basin that I'm filling up with water. I'm just kind of adding hot cold every day to it, and I'm eating even less now. It's just a full paleo situation,
Beautiful.
and no, it's getting even better. But enough about me. But yes, it's back
Well,
to
the nutrition's key. The two places we have the most control over, if you will, like we're every moment, nutrition's one of them, but even more than nutrition is breath. Like it's every moment. We have the ability to, I don't love the word control because it takes, a lot of practice to deepen that breath. But certainly practices like both yoga as well as meditation, and there's other mobility practices, you mentioned the hot cold, they help us deepen that breath. And as we develop a deepening breath, right? That is, the prana, that is the self-regulator. That is the awareness. So we're not going 2 weeks down the road with a poor sleep regimen or too much stress. We're able, like, it's that breath that inevitably cultivates into the boundaries that we are, right? It's the breath which stimulates the aura that we become, so that when someone asks something of us, we are in a balanced place with our answer, with our response, right? It comes from a place of balance in which we look at all the responsibilities that we have taken on, and we can choose love, right? Not weakness or guilt or, and say the wrong thing. Say yes when we can't, when it should be no, or vice versa, whatever needs to be said. And so again, the practice of a deepening breath. And so though to me, nutrition and breath work and some level of yoga, yoga also helps with the breath tremendously. And having, the system cleared of blockages, because that, those blockages in the system shorten the breath as well. And yoga helps, the union, right, with what is, with everything that is. So as we do the mobility work and we can, move through our life with flexibility and sacred geometry, right? As we show up with sacred geometry, posture, a strong spine, right? Our ability to channel has becomes more clear. So all those things don't get distorted, right? When our spine's kind of not quite as strong as it could be, and our breath isn't as deep as it could be, and our mind isn't as clear as it could be, we begin to distort our reality. And as we distort our reality, like, oh, I can go another day. You know what? You couldn't. So why'd you say you could? Now, we be good to ourselves and we forgive ourselves, right? But the truth of the matter is we took on a lot of responsibilities, so it's up to us to show up for them. So again, how do we unwind some of those as we unwind ourselves? You mentioned if we're in that position of like, true illness, it's time to unwind, right? And be honest. And take care of ourselves and go. To me, it's all about simplicity, right? Fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, breath work, stillness, mobility, gentle mobility. That's how we heal. It's that simple. It doesn't go that much beyond that. And people that think they need more than that, they're looking outside themselves.
I have so many things I want to talk about with regard to letting go into the void and story and the stories and thought constructs that we overlay on our reality that a lot of times are just us like talking to ourselves and like projecting onto what our reality is instead of just being with our breath and like this like seeing things unfold as we trust each moment to reveal itself as opposed to trying to anticipate and like create protections for ourselves. But I think that's probably for another call because we're at the top of the hour here. I just wanted to say one thing that you mentioned before about doing the dishes. I'm reading you probably have this book, but it's awesome. It's such a great little book. Everyone should get it. It's by Thich Nhat Hanh. It's called Pieces Every Step. And it's literally just goes through his, he goes through like every little page is its own little part of your day. And he just tells you, doing dishes. He's like he just talks about how to do dishes in the most beautiful, in the most happy, delighted way. It's like, here's what you do. Like, here's how to do dishes and be so happy the entire time, no matter what your day looks like. But it's just such a good, like, step by step, like, just granularity, like how to maintain that grace in every part of your day, So peace in every step. You guys should get it. Thich Nhat Hanh. Any closing words, Doug? I think we're gonna be having more of these conversations if you're up for it. I think that everyone here probably would like some more. And thank you for being with us. But any closing words before we go?
Yeah, I would just say on that last piece, and one of like my guru taught me this, even though he doesn't call himself that, nothing takes the place of practices. No spiritual tools, nothing will take the place of practices. Even lessons. You just keep getting the same lesson over and over and over again. Those don't take the place of practices. People say, oh, you got to get rock bottom. That doesn't take the place of practices. So when you mention doing the dishes, when you show up in your practice, cultivating joy is possible with everything that you do.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy because it, instead of getting sucked into your device or whatever, getting sucked into your life is what we need to be doing. Like, there's so much information. There's so much. There's everybody's the shaman of their own reality, and there's so much teaching happening in every single moment if you just show up for it.
Beautiful.
Thanks for being here. Can't
Thank
wait.
you, Nick.
I have half a mind to come out there and find you in Kauai soon and see if we could film a workshop with you or something. And bring my family and really drop in on your reality and see how peaceful you really are when you have the pressure of guests.
I would love that. And I would love to show back up in Boulder too. That would be a dream.
Heck yeah, dude. Cool. Well, hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks for all your awesome comments. Thank you, Kaklouche, for saying that I'm sparkling. That's really wow. Maybe this whole thing works. I don't know. Awesome. Yeah, until next time. Have an amazing month. Doug,
You
talk
too,
to you
Nick.
soon.
I'll talk to you soon. All right,
All
take
right.
care. Aloha, everyone.